Hey, good evening, and welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, pull up the covers, settle into your bed or snuggle in, or jam yourself between the bed and the wall. That's one of my pro tip. That's what I like to do sometimes. And then press play and listen to this podcast. We'll do the rest. Did I already say we'd do it with a bedtime story? The way it works is the podcast creates a safe place where you can set aside any thoughts, thinking, troubles, worries, cares, even ambition, positive stuff that's going to just keep you up at night, or evil stuff if you're plotting vengeance. We've all seen how that works out in this podcast. Oh, no, wait, that's my other podcast, the Vengeance Cast. That's, only available on the new Silk Road. But anyhow, the podcast takes your mind off of that stuff and allows you to be distracted. And you just listen to the story and you're going to fall asleep, hopefully, because I have a secret thingamajig in my pocket that transforms me from a stunningly interesting man into an extremely boring man in the flash of an eye. And that flash, you won't even notice the flash of the eye because yours will be closed and you'll be drifting off into dreamland. Now, if you're new and I haven't lost you yet, that's how it works. This is a podcast that helps you fall asleep. You can find us on the web at www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. That's three W's. I may have said four. You can send me feedback, your opinions, your thoughts, your whatever. Feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. It's now the no. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, it's at Dearest Scooter. I try to post bits of sleep news on Twitter. I was trying to post all the bloopers from the podcast on Facebook, but I've been having some trouble with sourcing the audio. Don't worry about it. But you could check us out on Facebook. But if you're on Facebook, it's not a huge deal, though. You don't need to. And that's about it. Funny thing, I got some housekeeping to do, and someone was talking about housekeeping. We got a review from SniffNid F Kit JU. SF Nitty F Kit Devu from the US of A. And they said they fall asleep by the time the housekeeping's done. So, all that hard work I put in the stories, I'm already getting you in the great, I'm getting you in the bonus time or whatever. So, but thank you for putting a review up on iTunes. And I'm glad we're helping you fall asleep. And then David of the Earth from New Zealand. And he says another Kiwi we're helping to fall asleep. Another piece of housekeeping besides thank you, David and Davidovita, for reviewing us on iTunes. Anybody else has a chance to, if you can do it, it'll help other people organically find the podcast. And you can express your opinion. You hate it, you love it, you fall asleep before I even get to the stories. Cool. And it's like, I'm not against drugs, but like David Tara says, David Tara, he's from the earth, maybe. Why take unnecessary medication if this podcast is more mind-numbing than drugs? Hey, and what was that? I said speaking of housekeeping, because David Tara mentioned it, but then I was going to segue into something else. I'm going to pause while I think. I was going to say, it's a shame that New Zealand isn't in our international showdown, because obviously the Kiwis would be crushing the competition, both the listening to a podcast competition and any competition involving, other stuff, because you guys are the best. And actually, I don't need to go into any New Zealand stories. And and I don't need to go on a honey tirade or anything like that. Segue into the international showdown. Right now, Japan and Korea are out in the lead, but ladies and gentlemen, Singapore may, or no, it's not Singapore, but ladies and gentlemen, Sweden may be making a move. I believe Sweden has picked up a third listener and might be, you know, possibly making a move on the solid lead that Japan and Korea, they don't share the lead, but I'm not tipping my hat who's in first and second because I don't want anybody to get, you know, lackadaisical, especially that guy in this tower in Singapore that's in love with that girl. Have you got a hold of her, bro? The one in the other tower? And Sweden, who's this new listener? Is your name Hleb? And do you have lovely ponytails or pigtails? Because that's something I have a thing for. Anyway, international showdown in progress. And don't worry, Ireland and Singapore, you guys are, you're still in it. You know, I still have respect for you. So, well, yeah, what was I saying? That's it. Let's get on to the show, I think. Unless I forgot something, but whatever. Tonight we have another episode of Trending Twitter Tuesdays. Usually from Sundays, this time from Saturday. It is Saturday evening, Saturday night, 7:33 p.m. on my phone, Pacific Daylight Time. We still got some daylight here. Yeah, I'm just cuddling up with you on a Saturday night, dear. And I mean that in the most, whatever way, most comfortable way you're comfortable with way. It could be just cuddling up 10 feet away from you if needed. But yeah, so I was going to say I'm going to go on Twitter, but I was going to be facetious because I already have Twitter right here in front of me. And we have, let's see our total, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9:10. Again, I didn't even bother checking on the iPad because last week we had trouble with it. But so there's no sponsored story that I can pick out, which is a kind of a bummer. I like doing the fake ads. Again, this would be the third podcast in a row, maybe, where I get into childhood. I don't know if this is childhood fantasy, but how many kids out there, anywhere across the world, you know, made fake ads, recorded your voice on some sort of recording device, and, you know, made fake commercials? I remember I used to do it. And now look at me. I'm so wow, that's pretty sad. Yeah, I remember I used to do that. And now I'm doing it. Now I'm pining for a sponsored post. But so we have 10 things on Twitter, my Twitter trends here. And we've got number one, don't recognize. Number two, I do. Number three, no idea. Number four, I do. Number five, don't know why it's trending, but I can read. Number six, again, regular words, but don't know why it's trending. Number seven, no idea. Number eight, I know who that is. Number nine, I don't know. Number 10, I do. So we're at pretty close to 50%. So yeah, it's a trending Twitter Tuesdays tales on Twitter that are trending. Or things that are trending on Twitter made into tales. Remember, last episode I was having trouble saying trails of tears. I don't know why. Trail of tears. Tears. What was it? What was I having trouble with? Something. I wish I had written that down because I was going to, you know, add that on to trending Twitter tales Tuesday today. Trending. Twitter tears. I don't know. Let's get on the show. So I got to tell you guys about this movie I just saw. It was awesome. And this isn't really a movie review, more of like a movie. Did you hear that? I was just rendered speechless about this. So I saw this movie, and I know what you're going to think as soon as I tell you the title of it. You're going to roll your eyes and be like, you're acting crazy, you know, you're just trying to be a goofball. But so I went to this movie, and it was like an underground cinema, and you had to, it was like a speakeasy for movies, which is kind of weird because you have to show up at a certain time, and you know, they still serve popcorn and stuff. But yeah, it's like an underground movie. Now, my first question you might be asking yourself is, whoa, who invited you to an underground movie? Because we know you're about as square as a square. Well, I guess you can't be more square or less square than a square. You're much squarer than a rectangle. I'm much squarer than a rectangle. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not hip. You might be wondering how I got into the speakeasy. It turns out not many people wanted to go. Your instincts were right. And this guy was like, hey, I'm showing this movie tonight. And I said, what's the name of the movie? He said, it's Frosch Grooves 2. And I said, Frosch Grooves 2? No, Frosch. Frosch Grooves 2, man. I was like, oh, Frosch Grooves 2. And I tried to play it cool. Like I was like, because I had embarrassed myself for real maybe 6 months, a year ago. I was working with some people, some kids, teens, and they were listening to this song called Addicted to the Guap. I'm addicted to the guap. But it was a hip-hop song. And I was like, and it's a catchy song. I don't think, I'll try to put it in the show notes if I can find a legal way to do it. I don't even know if it's on YouTube. I can't, because I tried to find it again. It was really hard to find after, because the kids were playing it. But it was like, and I didn't want to ask the kids, is he saying guac? You know, I'm addicted to the guap. It's really a good song. I wish I could credit the singers, but I couldn't even find out. That's how, like I already said, I'm square. I'm not hip. But so, this isn't part of the made-up story either. So there's kids that listen to the song. It sounds like they're addicted to the guac. So I'm like, guac is green. So is weed. Maybe it's like some guac is some term for. But I knew not to ask because it was like it'd be embarrassing. But then finally, I couldn't. It's like when you're not hip, it's like, do you want to be naive, not hip? Or do you want to, I don't know. Curiosity got the best of me is what I'm saying. So I ask, and the kids all crack up and thinking I'm saying guac. And they're like, no, it's guap, G-U-A-P. Which I think I don't even know why it's called guap. But basically guap means mad money, G-U-A-P. Mad money, like Jim Cramer. I don't even know if Jim Cramer has mad money. Like Warren Buffett has guap. Like you have so much money, like you get bottle service and you tip double, or you know, you burn money to smoke cigarettes. Like mad money, mad cash, like crazy money. So this song is about being addicted to the guap. My point is that this guy asked me if I wanted to see Frosch Grooves 2. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. And it took, like, I didn't, my confidence had been shaken by how hard the kids laughed when I said guac and how bad they cracked up. And, you know when kids crack up at you and point at you, hold their stomachs. It's not humiliating for me. I mean, for a normal person, it'd be terribly humiliating. For me, it's just another day being me. But so, point is, this guy's an adult. I don't know if I could handle an adult laughing like me, especially someone cool that's running underground cinema. So I didn't ask him what Frotch meant, but I was like, yeah, let's check this out. Frotch, what's it called again? Frosch Grooves 2. And I was like, but I was thinking, you know, I'm a daydream believer, I guess, or I believe in daydreams or whatever. So I already started thinking, if I was making a movie, like as I'm walking into this theater, like I'd be making Frosch Grooves 2, what would it be? And you might be two steps ahead of me and being like, is this like Electric Boogaloo 2? Are you going to reboot Electric Boogaloo 2? Do not even try to put me to sleep to a reboot of Electric Boogaloo 2. I'm like, don't worry, okay? I'm not going to do that. I would never do that to you because I hold Electric Boogaloo 2. I think it's Electric. or isn't it Break Into Electric Boogaloo? Man, I was going to say I hold it in the highest esteem and I just killed all my cred, but and honestly, I do. Break Into Electric Boogaloo came at a time in my life, came across my path, and it was one of those movies that I loved. I must have watched that thing 60, 70 times. So much that I don't really remember the title, but I was a youngster. So I'm not going to reboot the title of that, because that story broke the mold of stories. You know, you got breakdancers, you got a community center that is shared by the old and young alike, you got do-gooders, you got do-batters, you got greedy. I think the Lego Movie had the same plot now, but yeah, because the Lego Movie was great, so I don't want to. It didn't have the same plot, but okay, you probably draw some parallels. But yeah, so community center. This is not that story about the community center being saved, and or almost saved, and then resaved. Okay, no. So this guy sends me into way off track. Frotch Grooves 2. I go to the underground movie, and starts out starring Flex and Shanice. So I'm already thinking, this is like Electric Boogaloo 2, just like you were thinking. Is this going to be like Electric Boogaloo 2? And then I was like, this is some sort of send-up of Electric Boogaloo 2. And again, you're probably getting irritated with me and saying it. You're yelling at your phone, Breaking to Electric Boogaloo. There was no Electric Boogaloo 2. Idiot. So you're right about that, too. So it's like this movie, it starts out starring Flex and Shanice. And it starts out, it's got this long intro, like wicked long, like they're driving on this dusty road in this car. And you just see the car, and there's a lot of shots of the car and the road and the dust. And I'm stretching here, I'm like, is this some... And I didn't know what it was, because I was thinking, I was already like, oh, this is Frosh Groove 2. And I was like, well, Frosh, wouldn't it be Groove 2, or Frosh Groove 2, sophomore year? You know, and I was like, oh, well, is this like an Animal House? And I'm totally wrong. I mean, there's this dusty roads. I'm thinking, is this like a Jim Jarmusch movie? Is this guy the next, you know, when's Tom Waits going to show up? Well, right as I'm thinking, when's Tom Waits going to show up? Who shows up? The first person on the scene, Tony Parker. Not Tony Parker, the French basketball player, but Tony Parker was a villain in this movie. He was like one of the Parker brothers. Like the game, well, he wasn't one of the original Parker brothers. He was like one of the Parker grandchildren, or great, maybe even the Parker great grandchildren. He was a jerk, and so he shows up on the scene with his Candyland money. I mean, he had some guap, Parker brother grandchildren. Parker, I mean, I guess you'd still be a Parker brother if you had a brother, and he didn't have one in the movie, but he was Tony Parker. Heir to the Parker brother fortune? Whatever, he had guap. He was a jerk. And you just knew it right away because he shows up and he slashes the tires to Flex and Shanice's car while they're in this orphanage. I guess I'm projecting again. I don't know. They pulled the car up and there was like this, it was just like this whistling music. Like someone actually whistling, really good whistler, and dust flying by, and they went in this building, and it was a adobe building, because we're in this motif or whatever, dust filled. He comes, slashes our car, and I don't know, you don't know he's Tony Parker at this point. I just knew because I'm telling you about the movie. But so he slashes our tires, and then so they come out of the adobe building, and I don't know what they're doing in there. And actually, they never reveal it in the movie. But that kind of adds an air of mystery. Like, I was like, man, are they doing... So But they look like they're in a hurry when they get out of there. So it's like, did they do something good or something bad? Or do they are they late for something? Because there's still no like voiceover, no dialogue other than Tony Parker at one point goes, when he slashes one of the tires. And it wasn't the tire. It was him. And he kind of looked past the camera, so I know it was on purpose. So Flex and Shannis, they get out of the thing, and they come out. Their car's totally flat, all four tires. Now, you would think, if it was me, and I came out of an Adobe building, and my car had four flats, I'd flip out, or I'd be concerned about water. But Flex and Shannis, they're obviously the heroes at this point, because they're totally chill. And the first lines in the movie is Flex, who's like, you know, you can imagine Flex and Shannis because you're going to imagine them the right way. When you got a name like Flex and a name like Shannis, you're kind of like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, except you're a man and a woman. Or Thelma and Louise, but you're a man and a woman. Or Bonnie and Clyde. Is that Bonnie's a woman? Clyde's a guy? Or was that one of the movies where, like, somebody had a sidekick? Was Bonnie and Clyde the one with Clint Eastwood and the guy, the monkey? I don't know. But Flex, he pulls a joint out, lights the joint up. I'm not telling everybody to go smoke a joint. I'm just saying this happened in the movie. But if you could, if you need to. And he goes, smokes that thing. He says, pass the love. Passes it over Shannis. And boom, everybody starts cheering. And the guy was so cool that, it was like, wow. I guess like when, you know, someone gets on the news to talk about glamorizing something. Flex, he could glamorize anything. Like if he was brushing his teeth, I would have left the theater, stopped at CVS, got a toothbrush, and brushed it in the CVS bathroom. I would have paid for it because I know Flex would have. So, you know, if he was to, go and alphabetize his clothes in the second scene of this movie, I would have done, you know, stuff like that. But so Flex, they smoke joint and they just relax. And then it kind of cuts. Maybe it probably isn't best for me to describe the movie scene by scene, frame by frame, even though I'm trying to bore you because it could take hours. So, blah, 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 stuff happens. They get out of that situation. And still like, huh, what is this movie about? Yeah, definitely cool people, Flex and Shannis, but they're not. They got Tony Parker, or at this point, this mysterious guy slashed their tires. Next thing you know, they're at a library. And then you're like, oh, wait a second, okay. This is set in the future because the library is futuristic. And they go, Flux goes up to the librarian and he says, we need some diverse books, man. And the lady's like, oh, well, we have every book. We got you're familiar with the Dewey Decimal System? And he just looks at her like, and he goes, oh, we need some diverse books. She says, yeah, we have diverse books. We have the Dewey Decimal System. What subject book are you looking for? And then Shannis, she smashes her foot down. And she says, like, didn't you fucking hear him? He said, we need some fucking diverse books. I could never, Shannis, I want to call her Janice for some reason, but she starts going through the Dewey Decimal System. She's like, that's art. French art, 41, I don't know. But when she's going through the Dewey Decimal System, she's concentrating. She's hitting a lot of European subjects. Like, hint, hint to the librarian. Like, and the librarian, all of a sudden the librarian's eyes glaze over. And then this, like, UPC code beam shoots out and starts scanning Flex and Shannis's thing. And then the librarian pulls out this plasma rifle. And boom, Flex and Shannis, they duck down. Librarian, probably not. I mean, librarians, whatever the future holds, They're packing heat behind the desk, but probably not a good shot. So they start blasting. Fex and Shanice get out of that situation. And you're like, how could this possibly get any more? Like, what's going to happen next? Well, Flex and Shanice, they, next thing you know, they're sitting down at a computer and they're writing a grant proposal for this BEA grant. A BEA, like, 14 grant for 2014. It's like the BEA is like the Book Enforcement Agency, which in like this 1984-esque future that Flex and Shanice are in, chooses the books we can read and that we can check out of the library. You know, pretty boilerplate stuff. No offense to Frutch groups, too. But so they apply for the grant, but this is when stuff gets interesting. I mean, the grant part, that's 20 minutes I could ask for back. And if you need to sleep, you know, whew, you don't even need me. You know, if you're still awake at the end of this podcast, just trying to imagine a grant proposal from Flex and Shanice. It's like, you could just imagine the U.S. tax system code stuff, type stuff, boring stuff. Okay, that's what I'm saying. The interesting part about this story, the takeaway is, at some point in the future, Flex and Shanice live in a future where it's only, there's a book enforcement agency. I mean, that's no good, right? Do we have that now? Hopefully there's no podcast enforcement agency or boredom enforcement agencies. Yeah. Boredom encouragement agency. Actually, I should apply for that grant. But besides the point, let's get back to Frutch groups too. So yeah, like I said, that part, slow first part of the second act, or whatever people say that think they know a lot about movies. What the cool part is that, well, I guess there's another stretch where Flex and Shanice are just hanging out, waiting to hear from about the grant proposal. Now, to be honest, that was more like watching them do a grant proposal is a lot of typing and saying, well, no, let's move this paragraph here. Or, you know, this is grant proposal language, you know, so we got to use this, you know, results-based type stuff. But watching Flex and Shanice wait around for something, to hear about the grant proposal, that's a little more interesting because they sit around and they, you know, it's almost like, why do people like watching French people at cafes? I don't know I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, or smart French people. What are they talking about at cafes? I don't know. But believe me, if I'm sitting across the pizza thing from you, I'm going to be watching you. Same thing with Flex and Shanice. They might just be sitting around the house smoking a joint, kissing, making sweet love, looking through books, talking. But I don't know, something gripping about Flex and Shanice, watching them. They're entertaining, well cast. That's probably the secret. Or great writing, directing, and acting. But so that part had me gripped. And then the letter comes from the Book Enforcement Agency. And you know it's no good. The grant proposal. I won't get into it. I was gonna say, it's probably just probably not a grant. If there's a grant from Book Enforcement Agency, maybe you should take this because what if you're listening to this in the future? Don't apply for it because it's probably a trick. And it was a trick because the next thing you know, Flex and Shanice are in this house. It's surrounded by government book haters that want to shove this, and it ends up, they didn't, like, to jump back to the movie, because, you know, I was saying stuff, I'm not anti-European or anti-European history. This was like some pseudo-European history that had been literally whitewashed and actually whitewashed to, like, this history that was, like, perfect and, you know, to try to, you know, whole whole thing. And they specifically left out any history about the community center featured in Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo, which was a major point in, like, stuff like that, just gone from history, gone, period. So, fast forward, the BE agents are outside the house. They start, you know, it's like a little bit in the future. Plasma rifles, knockout stuff, like scanners, like little insect bots are running around, and they take Shanice down and they render her, and then Flex is like, leave her alone, take me instead. And then boom, the door gets kicked open, the sheriff comes in. Who's it played by? First celebrity in the movie, Toby Keith. Toby friggin' Keith, the country singer that loves the U.S., is playing this evil sheriff guy. And he's like, well, you know, you're coming with me, you're rabble rousers, and who do you think you are? And whatever, Turbo, come with me. He takes him in. And next thing you know, they got him in the interrogation room. And they're like making him watch Star Wars and the original six Star Wars movies. And it's really hard on them because it's like, I don't know. They're like over and over again, all six movies, back to back to back to back to back. And they're just, whether you love Star Wars or not, the last thing you want to watch is like a Star Wars marathon and then followed up by another Star Wars marathon. So they're losing their minds. And Sheriff Toby Keith comes in and he's like, are you guys ready to talk? And they're like, well, what are we supposed to talk about? And he's like, well, I want, you know, I know you guys are, what were you doing in the desert? Like, he's like, it's none of your business what we're doing in the desert, man. It goes, listen, Sheriff, this Flex talk. And he says, you know, I tell you, you got to pass the love, man. You got to pass the love. Otherwise, you're never going to make it. And he's like, he punches Flex in the face. And that's when everybody's like, oh. And it's like, well, what kind of jerk is this Toby Keith character? And not real life. I don't know much about Toby Keith in real life. But in the movie. And that, like a good if to Toby Keith's people. One, it's an independent-minded movie. It's shown in some speakeasy. Two, he was really good. He's probably gonna be in something else again. Probably a role that he could move into like a role. Well, better not get into it because I'm gonna start naming actors and then I'm gonna be like, oh, I can't think of that guy's name. But yeah, probably a good move for Toby Keith. Great job acting. So yeah, he's grilling them, and then Flex is just like, what do you want? What do you want? And he's like, I'm, you know, and it ends up that then Toby Keith, he can't answer that question. And then Shanice is like, you know, let me talk to him. And she tries to, she's like, well, what do you need to know? And he's like, well, I don't even know. They just told me I had to break you, and you guys would tell me everything. That they said you guys hate Star Wars. And that, especially, you just don't like any of, you know, the whole movie. And that you guys are on the fence about seeing the new ones. She's like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. But you just seem like, who's in charge here? And Toby Keith, the sheriff, he's like, I'm not in charge. Sheriff Toby Keith is like, well, what do you guys want? What do you, you know, we heard about your grant. And, you know, you asked for, like, $10,000 to purchase books. I mean, what do you want these diverse books for? You know, what are you, some kind of political statement or enriching, or what's your deal? And then Shanice is just like, you don't get it at all. Like, you're so busy with what you believe in and what you think other people, you know, when didn't you listen to Flex say pass the love? Do you know outside this town there's a desert? And outside this desert, there's a grove of trees called the Frotch Grove of Trees. You know, Frotch Grove. It's two groves, and they're both dying. All the trees are going to die. There's not one book. We've traveled the entire... This is the only town left. And we've gone every inch of this earth. We've searched all these old cities, abandoned cities, and there's no books on how to save the Frotch Groves. Frotch Groves 2, don't you remember that lullaby from when you were little? And Sheriff Toby Keith is like, Frosh Groves 2. They grow and grow. Clean the air we breathe. Without the Frosh Groves, then we will all be leaves or something like that. She goes, close, but yeah, maybe your parents didn't sing it to you, but she goes, without the Frosh Groves, that's it for us. Yeah, well, you guys just want these diverse books and this whole environmental impact crap. She goes, listen, Sheriff Toby Keith, what are you doing? And she goes, I just want a book about these, we need to save these trees. Why don't you just let us say, what's the harm in saving the trees? And then he's like, I don't know. Boom, door flies open. It's Tony Parker. Parker Brother Fortune. And he says, I heard everything. I've been watching it. He goes, I run this town. This guy, he's merely elected by the people. He doesn't have any power. I mean, he has the power to arrest you. He has the power to detain you indefinitely. Because I have the power to make the decisions. And then next thing you know, Flex is somehow out of his cuffs. Out of it, he comes in the room. Smoking a joint again. I'm not trying to glorify drug use. I could never. And just aside, I'm no comment, but I can't. I wouldn't. I'm not doing these high. I'm sure people have wondered. This is all 100% natural idiocy. So, but I know some people like to get high and listen to this, and I'm glad that you do, because this kind of weird stuff is great. Probably. So Flux, he smokes another joint. Says, pass the love. He passed the joint to Toby Keith. Toby Keith smokes the freaking joint. That was cool. And then Flex, he's just like, how are we going to fix this, man? To Tony Parker. And Tony Parker's like, a game of shoot giants, shoots and ladders to the death. And before they get on, like, Flex is so cool. He's like, what do you Parker Brothers think about, people that steal off? Like, he's like, I've seen snakes and climbers and all sorts of other, he goes, what do you think about all that? Tony Parker, he literally takes out money, slaps Flex across his face, and shoves it in Toby Keith's mouth. And then you can see in Toby Keith's eyes that if there's a Frosh Groove, well, it ends up Frosh Grove, because I was pronouncing it. That was like, I was going to kind of pay that off in a better way, but ended up I wasn't. Not only did I know what Frosh, but I didn't know, I thought it was Groove, it was Grove. Frotch Grove. Frotch ends up as a made-up word in the name of this groves of trees. But if there's a Frotch Grove 3 or a Frotch Grove 2, Toby Keith's eyes on Tony Parker is like, he's going to get him in the next movie because he just humiliated him, kind of. Sheriff Toby Keith. He had a different name. I think he was like, I can't remember. But so... Flex is like, what do you mean a game of shoots and ladders to the death? And Tony Parker's like, yeah, you're going to play against my man Montez. And Flex is like, okay. And he goes, what's so dangerous? I mean, I guess you could fall off a ladder. He goes, is there like shoots to nowhere? And Tony Parker just nods his head. He goes, is there shoots to like bad, dragons and alligators? And Tony Parker, because is there ladders to, like, different bad things? Tony Parker's like, yeah. But he's like, do we have to, like, sword fight when we're on, if we cross paths? And Tony Parker just says, now you do. And so then they set up the whole thing, and it's like this guy Montez, who's like supposedly world's greatest chutes and ladders player, both live action like they're about to play or life size, and straight up board game. He works for the Parker Brothers. He's like the he's a part guy's Parker Brothers call in when they need their tough guy for one-on-one gaming. So, and I don't know, it's been a while since I played Chutes and Ladders. I think it's just you roll the dice and you move. So I don't know maybe it's like a simple strategy where he knows all the numbers. So it's like mathematic. He already has the game beat if he gets the right, kind of like backgammon. I'm terrible at backgammon because I'm terrible at numbers. Like I'm terrible at pronouncing things. But like backgammon, I think really good backgammon players know, okay, I got those numbers, this is what I'm going to do. I know because I've been gammoned or whatever it is, like get my ass kicked by people that are good at that. So this guy's good. So, but Flex, unfortunately for Flex, or well, I guess luckily for Flex, they're not going to play regular backgammon or regular chutes and ladders because it's not really a good game to play by your gut. But boom, Flex and Montez go up there. They're climbing ladders. They're going down slides. Flex is really having fun, even though there's, like, bottom of one slide, there's porcupines. He lands in them. He's got porcupines. Goes to the top one ladder, gets sprayed by skunks, falls down. Get another one, beehives. He's still having fun. He's got all his wounds. But so Flex is having, like, so much fun that at some point Tony Parker starts cheering him on. And then Tony Parker, like, tells Montez to drop his sword, and he tells him to come down, and Tony Parker starts playing, because he realizes, like, none of the dangers are actually, other than the swords, it's, like, not really, you could have too many pricks, you could be allergic to bees, you could get killed, but probably they're not, so he's playing, and then him and Flex, and then he lets himself go a little, he realizes how cool Flex is, he realizes that he's heir to Parker Brother fortune. Why is he trying to assert his will over the last hamlet of humanity like some sort of dictator when he could just keep living large because whatever the economic system is, even though it would make sense if it was part of a larger economic system because it's isolated, you might be asking all these questions. Like, they didn't get into it in the movie. I'm just telling you the movie that I saw. I'm not responsible for the economic impacts of Parker Brother Fortune on a one-city economy, okay? So slow your roll before you send me a hate letter. But so that's it. Somehow Flex and him, they play until they're, like, exhausted and covered in bee stings and bug bites and they got leeches on them, and they're picking leeches off each other and smoke, like two old friends, smoking joints, picking leeches off each other. It's like freaking Stand By Me meets Cheech and Chong. And it has that feeling of relief that moments in those movies have. Stand By Me mostly. But Cheech and Chong, you know, there's some relief in those movies, laughing relief, or modern-day Seth Rogen movie. So, yeah, all of a sudden everybody starts feeling good. And the next thing you know, Shanice looks around, and they're surrounded by these frotch trees. And she's like, holy cow, like something about the laughter of the heir to the Parker Brothers fortune, and the fact that Toby Keith smoked a joint, and she's like, look at these trees, and then the sky, and then it finally rains, and people are running around, and then Flex and Shanice are making out, and Flex is like laughing, he's like, don't worry, baby, I knew this all the time, and then they go back to the library, they apologize to the librarian, and Shanice pulls out of her bag the victory book that Tony Parker had given her, which was like how to care for a frotch grove, and that book was placed inside. It was photocopied because of the one which trademark violation. They like photocopied it like 50 times and binded them. But not a big deal because it was only it was the only book on taking care of frost trees we know. And then it kept all the books safe. And then the frost trees grew back. But Flex and Shanice weren't there because they had to move on to the next crisis, which, you know, might involve grant writing. I don't know. And that was the end of the movie. It's like Flex. Then again, it was like them riding off into the sunrise instead of the sunset, which tells me there's going to be another movie. And then there was like a sequence. I like when there's like stuff during the credits. So there's like one of Sheriff Toby Keith playing Chutes and Ladders with Montez and getting tips, and Montez trying to explain to him how he knew, like it's not even math anymore for Montez because his brain is just like hardwired. It's like you roll a 6 and a 5, it's like you go to that spot. You know, if you got just Montez seems to be taking Sheriff Toby Keith under his wing. And I don't even know what the name of the city was, and there was a lot of pot smoking at this movie, so I think even though I might have had some kind of contact high, and so I don't even know if everything's accurate because, also I had a concussion, so probably contributed. But yeah, so that's the movie Frotch. As far as I can tell, Frotch Groove 2. Pretty cool movie. And can't say I recommend it because you can't see it, because I think it was like one of those then they burned the one print they had in the movie at the show with the dude that played Flex. The dude that played Flex, he like smoked a joint and melted the thing. And then I asked like, what's Frotch mean anyway? And then everybody laughed at me, which I still don't know what it means. But then everyone was so high that this is like when this podcast works for me. I was like, let me tell you guys about this. I was thinking of, it was Frosh Groove. And I was like, oh, you know, and I told him this, I made up this whole story, which was not anywhere like this, what I just told you, but it was like about this college for grooving. And everyone listened, and then the actress that played Shanice, her name was Janice, her real name. We held hands for a second. I think she thought my hand was Flex's, but maybe not, because she even, like, tickled my palm. So, yeah, I mean, power of story. Just like the power of film that affected me in this way. So that's it. I hope you're asleep. I hope you have visions of Flex and Shanice and the evil heir to the Parker Brother fortune, Tony Parker. I didn't do any cheap jokes like the Parker Brothers versus Milton Bradley, though maybe that happened in Frotch Grove 1. And I apologize that, I mean, just to myself, actually, that I insulted myself by degrading Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo by calling it Electric Boogaloo 2. And I'm not trying to be, if anyone is listening still, I'm not trying to be ironic. Is that even ironic? Or like, this isn't tongue-in-cheek. I'm not being like facetious. I loved that freaking movie. I might rewatch it again just to see. I think I rewatched it. Last time I rewatched it, there probably was some flexing going on, if you know what I'm saying, but that was a while ago. I wish I knew some of the people that were in that movie so I could like throw their names off of or the characters. I'm pretty sure Turbo was the main character, but I'm not 100% positive. So thank you so much for listening, and that's it. Good night.